I compiled all the best moments with Mike Reed into one podcast. DaleWileyShow.com, also available on YouTube.
And so tell me the T-top story, because that cut out, and tell me that again.
The what story?
The T-top story.
T-top. A guy in Billings I'd met before, Herman Johansson.
Okay.
He lived right behind the Dairy Queen. Had real long blonde hair. He knew I was in a band, and he'd always wear overalls like red and white striped, drunk peppermint schnapps all the time. If he ever had a date, he would take a can of black spray paint and paint his carpet before he went out that night so it looked new. And I'd never seen anybody do that before. And the way I met him, one night I'm at the Dairy Queen, and he comes over, and in the T-tops in my car, he just dives in headfirst through the passenger side. And he's upside down. He looks over and he goes, "Hey, my old buddy Reed." And I go, and I was kind of like, "Yeah, and you're Herman, right?" "Yeah." And we just became friends, you know. And it's that went on. And he got married, raised kids, moved to Hollywood. He's pretty funny because he's like, I was on the road one time in a motel in the afternoon, and we were sitting around, and all of a sudden, some preacher came on the commercial. Okay. You know, "Are you lost? Do you need to be saved?" And I looked up, and it was my friend Herman.
Really?
The commercial that he did. And so he's done, he's doing good. These are independent films that he's doing, but he's getting a lot of recognition. Yeah, that was small town. You kind of knew all the people around everywhere.
Definitely.
Weekends you'd head to the races somewhere. Monette, we would go there.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I was breaking the ground while you were still grade school, you know, hanging yes, out.
Clearly. And, before grade school, actually.
Yeah, it was and you know, even in high school it was oh my gosh, it was just it reminds me of that movie Hoosiers or whatever about the basketball. It was just right. Small town. I remember Mr. Gentry. He was a superintendent. Oh, yeah. And if we had a basketball game that day, he'd call one of us into the office and he'd go, "Grab the other guys and go down to the Dairy Lane, eat lunch today. You don't need cafeteria food." And all the girls would be like, "Well, how do you guys get to go to the Dairy Queen today?"
Right.
Like, the superintendent wanted us to go. I don't know. And you got to do all kinds of things in a small school. I mean, it was, I'm really glad I grew up in a little small town.
Yeah. Definitely.
Really.
Did you ever shake Mr. Gentry's hand?
Once. I say that.
That's all you do. Definitely.
Mr. Gentry was a farmer.
Yes.
And he milked cows his whole life.
Yes.
And he would tell you, if you've never done it, you know, just shake my hand, shake my hand. This guy could just, and he was, he had some years on him, and he could take that hand, he could take that handshake
and just put you on your knees.
Crush put you on your knees and not even try. Just stand right there and just, and he'd just laugh while he's doing it. "What's wrong? What's the matter?" Oh my gosh. But I remember some girl I dated in high school, and I remember he saw us, I think, holding hands or something in between classes. Yeah, he didn't like that stuff, you know. He wanted the guys to be guys and girls to be girls. And
right.
Gee, he'd have never made it nowadays, I don't guess. He'd have freaked out, but it was, And then I was the president of my class, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Wow.
Because all my classmates, they'd just go, "Well, let's just keep Mike. We like him." And because I would do things like cafeteria, I'd get up from where all the ball players and everybody was, and I'd go over to the kids that never got any attention.
Right.
I go, "Scoot over. I'm going to sit with you guys." And it was like, "Why are you sitting with us?" And I go, "We're in my class, aren't you?" I go, "I just want to sit." And then some of the other guys would come over and sit with me.
Right.
And that's what they liked, that I didn't make myself any different than they were.
Yes.
And so we were all really close. I was the president, so I knew how to manipulate all the teachers. And we had an English teacher one day, you know, the class was like, "We don't want to have class today, figure out something." So I go, I've never had makeup on like Kiss before. Do you know how to do that? She spent the whole hour putting makeup on me. Wow. And at the end of it, end of the class when the bell rang, she's like, you did that on purpose, didn't you? So you guys said, I go, no, I'm the one stuck with makeup on my face last day. And then I'd tell her, next day I'd go in, she goes, now today we're going to have class. We're going to have class, you guys. I'd say, wait a minute. I'm the president of the class, you know. I can get the keys to the concession stand at the gym. She goes, can you really? I go, that's where all the soda pop and the cups and ice and candy bars are.
Right.
She goes, can you really? I go, yeah. She goes, okay, come on, everybody. Let's head down to the gym. And I was just, we had a superintendent 1 year from Billings. Okay. And he got there and he's like, are you still in school? Because we were one of the only schools that you could have facial hair.
Right.
And I had a big mustache all through high school. Uh-huh. And a lot of schools wouldn't let you do that. And I mean, I'd be playing basketball. I'd hear people up in the crowd when we were somewhere else yelling, you know, kill the guy with the mustache. Kill the yucky. And so 1 year, this superintendent came from Billings to Crane. And he's like, are you still in school? I go, yeah. I'm just. And he came up to me one day, and I would do things like, you know, we lived Crane, the old high school was, three story, I think, or something like that, with the old wooden stairs goes up inside.
Right.
And he comes up to me and he said, Michael, come here. And he said, you need to straighten up some, because he goes, not what you do is bad, but every kid in this school thinks if you do it, they can do it.
Right.
You're like a leader. I go, are you kidding? He says, no. So can you just kind of calm it down? She goes, I seen you just on your hind end sliding down the railing of the stairs a little bit ago. So we had 10 other kids doing it. Right. I just looked at him. I reached up and grabbed his tie. I said, no problem. And I yanked it around the back of his shirt and said, see you later. Well, I had fun. And my dad, he was all about the school and the school kids and the athletic club. You know, he was like, how come all these other schools have basketball warmups, you know, pants and jerseys and stuff.
Right.
He said, I'm going to get us some. And he went to Coach Conrad.
Uh-huh.
What do we need them to look like? Show me some examples. And actually him and Raymond Lauer, those two guys, because Marty was Raymond's son. And oh my God, those two, I mean, people in the stands would be like, we can't start the game until Ray and Ray get here. You know, I mean, that's part of it. And one time the cheerleaders all told them that they had to go sit somewhere else because they were trying to win some type of pep trophy.
Right.
And they said, we can't have you guys sitting in our area. And so this was movie stuff. I mean, this is small town movie.
Right. Sure was.
Because we laughed. We had fun.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, we had a math teacher. We'd go out and run his sweater up the flagpole. And he'd be in class on the third floor. He'd go, has anybody seen my sweater? We'd be like, is that it out on the flagpole?
He'd be now, like, yeah. Were you there when the school burned down?
I think it burned down the next year after I left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I knew the kid that either did it or got blamed for whatever, right. All that.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of, I look real forward to going back there. I saw some, Jim Willman was a guy that played basketball with me. Right. He's a year older than me. And we were a lot alike. I mean, I'll pat myself on the shoulder. I was quite the athlete back in school. I mean, in basketball, I probably averaged, 25 points a game or something.
Wow.
And Jim Willman, he did too. And we had good teams back in those days, and it was. I saw Jim, Coach Deffenbaugh was an assistant to Bob Conrad, and
right.
He wrote Jim Willman the other day on Facebook and said, "Man, I'd like to see you sometime, Jim." And Jim wrote on there, "Man, why don't we go catch a Crane Pirates basketball game?"
Yes.
And I put on there, "Hey, tell me, I'll go." And then Gary Deffenbaugh, he's like, "I think we should wait till it, till all the pandemic."
Right.
Calms down a little bit. And I'm like, yeah. But I'd love to see all, and being president of my class, we never had a class reunion.
Okay.
I couldn't.
Why not?
And I had people come to me. Wanda Mounts was one of the people. And because I'd always play for KTTS at the Ozark Empire Fair.
Right.
They had a booth. And they come to me and they said, would you care if we put together a class reunion this year? I said, it'd be great if you can get anybody to come. I've tried. Uh-huh. And they got back with me and they said, you know, we got like three people that replied to us. So I was still in Nashville. I say, is 3-4 years ago. Well, if I graduated in 75, whenever that was.
Right.
They had a class reunion. Uh-huh. I couldn't go because, you know, in Nashville, I ran an entertainment company. And I did a lot of big corporate stuff. Right. And that always fell on weekends, whether it was playing or DJ stuff or just MC or just A&R. You're renting out equipment, running sound. And I plan, I marked it on the calendar. And there, it was good money. I just couldn't even get there. And it really hurt because I saw pictures of all the guys that we all played ball together and ran around together.
Who are they? Who are the guys in your class?
Jimmy Hilton.
Okay.
Bobby Eaton.
Okay.
Jeff Kynes, but he didn't play ball. He started out playing. Kent Broussard started out playing, but he ended up not playing. Who else? Well, Steve Burcham was a year older than me. He's still in Crane, I think, right?
Yes, he is.
Who else? Jim Willman was a year older than me. And if you knew Jim Willman, you had to know his brother, Leroy. Leroy would come in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of Chicago with a hat on and chains and big high-heeled shoes and,
right.
and full of it. But he backed it. You know, he talked the talk and backed it up. And who else? Greg Friend. He lives in Florida.
Okay.
Marty Lauer. I'm trying to think who all was there. That was a bunch of them, but they were all together. And then so this year I'd swore up and down, when Broiler Festival gets here, I'm going to Crane. I'm going to see all these guys.
Yes.
Well, they were all not going to it this year. Mm-hmm. I don't blame them. It hurt because these were people that voted me in every year to be the president.
Right.
And I just got things done. I mean, it's kind of like I did with music. It's kind of like my dad did. I just took care of stuff and,
Well, talk about your dad. Tell me about him. What it was like to have him as a dad.
My dad would do anything for his son. I'm an only child, so, you know, a lot of people, oh, yeah, only child. I grew up in Eldon, up by Eldon, Missouri, right. Up by Lake of the Ozarks.
Right.
And my dad had ran a department store, a major chain. Back in those days, it was called Carp's.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a, I don't know what, it was like a early Walmart type thing.
Okay.
They had all kinds of stuff there. And he met the guy that had the Pontiac and Buick dealership.
Okay.
He wanted dad to go to work for him. Dad went to work for him. And then he told my dad he needed his own dealership.
Really?
So he found the Chevrolet dealership in Crane.
Right.
And my dad actually, he found the money he could get. And he bought the dealership. In the house that the guy lived in. And, I mean, we bought the whole thing. One of your relatives, Glenn Wiley, became his best buddy.
Yes.
Him and Glenn. He'd call Glenn and say, I got some people need a car. Man, they don't have credit.
Right.
Glenn go, well, what do you think? Dad said, I'll sign for him. Glenn goes, yeah, we'll take care of it. Just let's get a car. Now, my dad would do anything for anybody. He really would. He's the reason that I'm sitting in Branson and not working right now as an entertainer. And I say that I ran some. My dad ended up having a Dodge Chrysler dealership in Aurora.
Right.
He had one in Monette. He had used car dealerships in Crane. I ran one of the dealerships for him for a while.
Okay.
So I did sales and I did management and I did all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I love playing music and he told me one time, you know, that's what you like and you're good at it.
Right.
He said, you know, he said, life's kind of short. So he said, go ahead and do it. He said, car lots will always be here. You can always do that.
Right.
Well, if I had stayed back in those days and just done the car dealerships, I'd probably be in a, well, I say I'd be in a lot different position, but you can't go back. You just enjoy what you did.
Yes.
So my dad would do anything for anybody. I mean, I had a girlfriend one time and her dog had died. And he said, like, what kind of dog was that? I go, it was a boxer. He said, get in the news back in those days, or in the computer, get in the newspaper. Let's find some boxer puppies. We went and bought her a puppy.
Wow.
At the time people were having a hard time. Well, my dad and your dad got along really good. Well, your dad, you know, did a lot of little lawyer things.
Right.
This business stuff with my dad. So, but that's small town. I mean, just right. Everybody knew everybody.
Back with Mike after a minute. DaleWiseShow.com, also available on YouTube.
Do you love music? Do you know about the musical map of Missouri?
Dallas Wayne,
Chuck Berry,
Dave Alvin, Robbie Folks,
The Skeletons,
The Ozark Mountain Daredevils,
Uncle Tupelo,
Wayne Carson,
Nelly,
Lou Whitney,
Symptoms Morel,
Kansas City, Jeff City,
St. Louis,
St. Joe,
Columbia,
Buckle of the Bible Belt,
Studio on South Avenue in Springfield,
Missouri.
Add the Missouri Music Podcast to your list of favorites. Lawyer, author, and Slewfoot Records label owner Dale Wiley takes you on a musical trip around Missouri while raising funds for Musical Map of Missouri, a nonprofit organization which will help ensure Missouri musicians affected by COVID-19. Visit MissouriMusicPodcast.com for more information. Tune in to the Missouri Music Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with Mike Reed, DaleWiseShow.com, and also on YouTube.
Exactly. And,
the other dealership there was the Ford dealership, Bill Jenkins. So they were competitors, but in the same sense, they were friends.
Right, they were friends, yes.
Yeah, they'd get together and talk. My dad, in his latter years, where he didn't have Chevrolet anymore, he just had a used car lot.
Right.
Jackie Fugit was a big insurance guy from town, one of them, him and Henry Maples, I think. But they would all the guys would get together in my dad's car lot, and they'd get the racing programs, and they'd figure out their horse racing bets. And then they'd slide it underneath Jackie Fugit's door of his office, which was right almost across from my dad's Chevrolet place.
Right.
Which was right next to a church. I mean, it could be Sunday, and my dad would be like, here's our football bets, run them down. Or my mom would come home from church. My dad would go, take these bets down, put them under the door. So the things we did were just, and my dad, I got a bass boat. And he's like, once a week, we went to Bass Pro Shop. Because he's like, we got to buy something. Right. I go, well, what? Well, I don't know. How about some new life jackets? We need those, don't we?
Okay.
And but he had heart surgery, and then the boat kind of bothered him. So I traded it and got a really, like a 21-foot bass boat, because it rode easier.
Sure.
We'd stop at crossroads, get bologna sandwiches. Back in small towns, they cut it right there, slice it. How thick do you want it, you know?
Yes.
And we'd go out on the lake, and we'd fish for about 3 or 4 minutes and then eat sandwiches. I mean, but my dad, and I lived there a long time because I was playing music. It was just kind of senseless to be out paying rent somewhere when you weren't ever there. And the day I finally left there, I remember he stood, you know, I was a grown man, you know, I mean, he stood there and just cried his eyes out, you know, and it was, but he was so much fun. I think I told you the story one time, my white flying V guitar.
Right.
They had one
today. What year is that flying V? What year is that?
Is that it?
So, yes. What year is that? Do you know?
The last year they made them before they quit making them, and then they started making them again. So it was 74 or 75.
Okay.
Sounds great. Back in those days, it was Mark Morton in the Rock Shop. Right. And we talked about that just briefly yesterday.
Yes.
Dad had me go up there on Christmas Eve, I think, or the day before Christmas Eve. And he said, is there any stuff in here you like? And I said, oh, that white flying V. Well, they told me they'd had two of them. Henry Gross, that did Shannon Is Crying Tonight, you know, song back in the 70s, bought one and still had that one, the white one. And I said, Dad, oh my gosh. Mark said, well, it's $750, and that's what it is. I can't deal on it at all.
Right. And
back in those days, well, that was in 74, I guess 74 probably, that, right. Or might have been 73, I don't know. It's a lot of money back then. It's a lot of money now. And that's why I said that night, Christmas Eve, we were doing gifts. My dad goes, I think there was one more gift upstairs in the closet. Go up there and see. I go, what is it? I got your mom a little something. Okay. And I brought this big box down that was wrapped. And I was kind of like Ralphie on the Christmas show, you know, on the BB gun. Because I was like, man, is this that guitar? Oh, and I opened it. And to this day, I've been offered quite a bit of money for that guitar by a lot of people.
Right.
Like, nah, that guitar will never go anywhere. You know, it's, but he would, when he died, I mean, he had to go through heart surgery and he had to go through cancer and all kinds of, it just a bunch of stuff hitting bad. And, he was beating the cancer and it got to his brain.
Right.
And, he'd set up every night. I'd come in, he'd go, he'd be in a, look like he's asleep, and he'd go, how about some lemonade? I go, okay. And the neighbor across the street, Rick, would come over, he'd go, yeah, let's have some lemonade. Ray wants some lemonade. And Jackie Fuga, all of his friends would come up to the hospitals in Springfield. And they'd go out of there crying, and they'd say, we came up here to cheer him up.
Right.
and he cheered us up.
Yes.
I started taking him to treatments like chemo and stuff. Right. First day he's like, oh, this sucks. I don't want to be here, you know. After about 2 or 3 days, he'd go in there and he'd see somebody go, where you got it at? And they go, what? And he go, cancer, where's it at? Oh, it's in my left lung. Oh, that's nothing. Shoot. I already beat that. That's nothing. You'll be out here in no time.
Right.
He was actually pumping up everybody there. Right. And when they had his funeral, it was unbelievable. They there in Crane, there was so well. The funeral home was crammed full, and then outside was crammed. Yes. So many people. Small town. Somebody that everybody knew.
Right.
And he had told me, he said, I always wanted to hear you play one more time.
Okay.
Oh man. So friend of mine, Crazy Al, that was in my band forever. He's a one of a kind. He's a great guy. Okay. He said, you're going to do it. And Bruce Westrup was the funeral guy.
Right. Yes.
And I walked in with a CD. He said, back in those days, it was a cassette, I think. And he says, what's that? I go, it's the song I was going to sing. Here, just play that. He took it and threw it in the trash can. He goes, no, you're playing it and singing it. So I had to go up and stand up there and do The Dance by Garth.
Right.
Which is, that is just, all songwriters wish they would have wrote that song. Right. It's about good times, bad times. It's just anything.
Right.
Man, that's the worst I ever played and sang in my life. Because everything was just quivering, you know.
Sure.
As soon as I got done, Crazy Al ran up and grabbed my guitar. And then he grabbed a couple dollars out of his pocket. And he looked over at my dad in the casket. He goes, here, Ray, I owed you a couple bucks on that football bet and threw them in there. So that kind of helped me a little bit. It didn't, right. didn't make me laugh. But my dad, he was a one of a kind. I don't say that because he was my dad.
Right.
He was just always the life of the party. He used to, with our tour bus, he used to gather up all the guys, and I'd drive them to Hot Springs to the horse races.
Right.
And they'd have tables set up in the bus and play cards and have their drinks and coolers and we'd pull right up to the main gate and everybody'd be like, wow, I wonder who's in the bus. And these guys would all get off the bus, you know, like, yeah, we're somebody big. And so, yeah, you know, I could talk hours about my dad. And
well,
I miss him every day.
Awesome. And so, again, we've got big plans for the future, but tomorrow I want to have Brad Price on here. What do you think about him? Would that be fun? Brad Price.
Oh, he's going to be on here?
Yes. With you and me.
Am I going to be on here too?
Yes, definitely. 4 o'clock.
Oh, three of us?
Yes, all three of us. I can do it. I've got the technology.
Well, I have to get my mascara and stuff out then. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hang on. Just for my friends at Crane. And you know what? I told you when I was down there, I got to go. How do I do this now? Okay.
Right here. There we are. Beautiful.
Will Vaught, Number one.
Oh, there we go. How wonderful.
How did I do this? Oh, right there.
Yes.
Anyway, Will Vaught's hat, he gave me that. I'd never met him before. And what is so funny, I stopped at his gas station. His mom knew me because it's during the fireworks time. I stopped. Mm-hmm. She knew me. Oh, I know you. I knew Ray. I know you.
Right.
And so, Will, there's a late model racer named Scott Bloomquist. He's won, he's won over 600 races, more than anybody ever in the late model stuff. And he's kind of cool because he's older like me, but he's still got longer hair. And he's one of them guys, if he wins, they interview him, you know, and he'll say, hey, how'd y'all like that? Hind end kicking. Only you don't say hind end. You know, and the crowd, the people in the crowd that like him are cheering, and the ones that don't like him are booing. Kind of like back in the days of Jeff Gordon and Little E, you know, back and forth. And so I asked Will, I said, so Scott, the day I met him, I had a Scott Bloomquist shirt on. I said, please forgive the shirt. He said, yeah, I guess this time. And I said, you've raced against him plenty of times. He's pretty much a legend. I said, so what do you think of him? I knew I was back in small town Crane.
Okay.
Because, well, you'll have to put in the word. He's as simple as he's a rhymes with lick. Okay. He's a Dick and Jane. Okay. Put it that way. Let's leave out Jane. And just as simple as just he's a blank. And I'm like, man, I'm back home. I'm back in the small town, man.
Yes.
Because that's just, you know, I mean, I'd be in a bigger town. People be like, oh, well, we don't really care for him that much. But it's. Right. So when I was down there getting my inspection, and he was like, it was so funny. I was telling him about my foot. And he showed me he had to get his pinky cut off this year. Same type of thing. Wow. And he said, they just told me the infection is so bad they had to do it. So he goes, I've been there. And, I said, I keep waiting for that T-shirt you were going to give me, you know. He said, I said, go up there to my race. And he said, we got them up there for sale.
Okay.
I said, give me. And he pointed over to the shelf. He said, you like that hat there? It's brand new. It still had the cardboard in it and everything. Uh-huh. I said, yeah, I like it. He goes, it's yours. Take it. I go, really? He goes, yeah. So that was pretty neat because I told him, I said, because my dad always sponsored Perry Vaught. I go, I'm real close to a lot of your relatives that are all older than you.
Right.
And when I started talking names and all, oh yeah, he knew everything. He said, well, I know who you are.
Right.
I knew who your dad was. I just never met y'all.
Right.
But, it was, my dad, back on my dad real fast, when we were traveling, doing a lot of music, he said, It'd be easier for you if you had a like tour bus or something, wouldn't it?
Right.
And we knew where
that would be the thing that we would think about. Yes, like a tour bus.
We knew where some that were retired over in Joplin, where a guy had some, and we went over there, and we ended up, you know, he was behind doing that and getting that, and then Chuck Warren at the lumber yard.
Right. Yes.
He became the guy that. We were down there every night working on it, building the insides of it. Incidentally, he called me the other day. Well, I'm just calling my little brother to see how you're doing. I go, where are you at? Well, I got remarried and I'm in Indianapolis now. I go, Chuck. So that's just it. It's a small town. You can always go back. You know, you can go home. And it's fun. I brought mom down there that one. Then one day I came by your house.
Yes.
Yeah, and for everybody out there, me and Dale are working on some pretty cool stuff. We'll be talking a lot more about that.
Definitely. And hopefully tomorrow Mike Reed and Brad Price can join us.
That would be awesome.
I would love
I haven't seen him in forever. I mean,
That's what would be so fun is to, you know, I just love this because we can all get on here and talk about old times and all the stuff we're doing now.
I want anybody that's seeing this, we'll have some fun conversations on here because I'm one of these people, for some reason, I've done about everything in life. I mean,
right.
I like I said, if somebody grows up and they do one thing, they do good at it. And that's what they do. But unfortunately, I found 1,000 different things I love to do. And I mean, I've got a whole magic shop in my house. I could just open up a magic store. And believe me, once you learn how to do magic, oh my gosh. I tell people, I wish I would have started back in the day as a magician. And they go, no, you don't. And I go, well, not really.
So but many songs that need to be heard by the world. And so we're going to have so much fun, and we'll do this every day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
It'll be great. I'll see you tomorrow.
DaleWileyShow.com, also available on YouTube.